You hear that second verse?
Amen.
It wasn't about the nine commandments that I kept.
About the one that failed.
Romans tonight. Romans chapter 3. I'm not sure if I need a bigger table or just less stuff. I just never have enough room. Romans chapter 3. Mrs. Frediani, are you still over there? Do you remember why you started coming to church here? Yeah, when did you start coming? How did you come here? I'm sorry? Yes. Someone invited you. That's all you're doing is just inviting someone to church. Say, I don't feel comfortable talking to someone about the Bible. All right, use them as invites. Hey, can I invite you to come to church? Do you go to church anywhere? Excellent way to start. Do you go to church anywhere? No. You're going to find one of two things. You're either going to find a fellow believer or someone that needs to come to Walker Bible Baptist Church. Yeah, I go to First Bible Baptist Church in Greece. Great. Praise the Lord. How long have you been going there? Do you know this person? Do you know that person? All of a sudden we have common bond. Fellow believer. No, I don't go anywhere. Great. Can I give you an invite to church? You don't have to go through it all if you don't feel comfortable. Day one. Hardest track is the first track to hand out.
Sure.
Then after that, hey, that worked out pretty good. Romans chapter 3. Anybody writing their Bibles? Anybody like underline things and mark things? So where we're going to pick up our lesson tonight is after the fourth question. Can I share with you the... Can I take a few minutes and share with you the gospel? And someone said yes. Now what? What do you do? I mean, this is best case scenario, right? This is what we want. This is what we've been ready for. This is what we're preparing for. This is what we prayed for. And someone just said yes. Uh-oh. I wasn't ready for that. So what do you do? Where do you go? Where do you start? How do you start talking? Do you start in Genesis? Where do you go? Do you start in Exodus? Or can you start in Romans? So if you're writing your Bibles, take a little pen out and write some verses down. Here's what I do. I start at Romans 3:10. Maybe in the inside cover of your Bible, you write all the verses in a list. Or maybe just the first one, Romans 3:10. And then when you get to Romans 3:10, right after the book of verse Romans 3:10, you have the next verse of where to go. So you have Romans 3:10 highlighted, circled somehow. So when you're showing someone from the Scriptures what it means to be saved, you can show them. And it draws their attention to one specific verse. Highlighted, maybe you circled the number in a bright green or something like that. Underline the verse so that verse stands out. And then at the end of that verse, you have Romans 3:23 written out. Not the whole verse, just the reference of where to go next. So here we are. We're looking at Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. This is, how does a soul winner present the plan of salvation? Well, you just ask someone if they had a few minutes to share the gospel with them. Okay, where do you go? How do you start? Well, Romans 3:10. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. If you have opportunity, use as much scripture as possible. Say, why is that? Because the power is in the Word of God. So the more scripture we talk, well, that's what they're going to consider. Otherwise, it's just your opinion against his or hers. Romans 3:10. The need of salvation. There is none righteous, no, not one. Then we go over to Romans 3:23. And what does that say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we begin to present the gospel. Number one, We need salvation. Number two, we are all sinners. Look at Romans now, chapter 6 and verse 23. Everyone has their own way, maybe. Maybe you want to edit this a little bit, but this is what I would consider the Romans road. And this works out pretty well. Romans 6, 23. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray and then we'll continue through this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, it's been a blessing hearing about people that have taken a step of faith and challenged themselves and handing out tracts and being a bolder witness. Thank you. And God, I pray that we would be consistent and continue in that. Lord, I pray that you'd show us something from your word tonight. Lord, help us to be a blessing, and Lord, help this to be an encouragement, Lord. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you did your homework last week? Anybody give the gospel or the testimony to maybe a family member or a friend or something like that? Anybody? Good. Good. Some of you passed. Some of you failed miserably. Miserably. All right. We were at Summit, and you know, Brother Charlie just changes stuff up at any moment. He's like, "All right, turn around to a person that you don't know and tell them how you got saved." And then there was a little girl that gave her testimony to this lady, and the lady didn't have one to give back, and a day later she got saved. Praise the Lord. Man, that was awesome. A little 10-year-old girl told how she got, or 8-year-old girl told how she got saved, and the lady's like, I didn't know that. And then a day or so later, she got saved. So, get your pens out, write these verses down, and it is important that you go in order. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. So, number one, we're all sinners. Number two, what's the problem with sin? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's a common error that we make in presenting the gospel. We use words that we think everybody else knows. Words that are common to us. Say, like what? Saved, sin, perish, eternal life. Say, it's obvious what that means. That's not in their normal vernacular. No one is bringing up discussions about sin that's lost. So there might be an opportunity for you to define those things. Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Do you know what sin is? The Bible says, "For all of sin comes short of the glory of God." Do you know what sin is? It's like when you make a mistake. Oh no, it's much graver than that. It's when you offend God, when you break a law of God. Do you know God has laws? No, I didn't know that. So then you might have to back up a little bit. Some people have an awareness of sin. Maybe grandma brought them to church for years and years and they just never got saved. And as quick as they could get to 18, they got out of there and never looked back. And all of a sudden you start showing them this and, oh yeah, I know all about that. But be careful that you not use terms. Because here it says, "For the wages of sin is death." What does that mean? Does that mean the minute I sin, I die? Is that true? No. I'm talking about an eternal death. So it's important to define those things. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. So at the end of Romans 6:23, you would write Romans 5:8. Or maybe just have a list at the beginning of your Bible. But it's a lot easier to have it at the end of the last verse so you know where to go for the next verse. Now, I mean, you can keep going back to the front. Or you can even take a gospel tractor and just follow it along. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So we see our need for salvation. We see the problem. We see a solution, right? For the wages of sin is death. That's the problem. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can talk about gifts. You can even, maybe at that point, if you see that they're not really tracking well, here, let me explain a gift. Let me explain Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, right? And we can talk about those things. If they don't understand sin, maybe you have to go back to Exodus chapter 20. If they don't understand sin, maybe you ask someone and say, have you ever sinned before? No, I've never sinned. I've had people say that before. Anybody ever had that? Sure. Oh, here, let me show you this verse. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The Bible says that we all have sinned. And that if we say that we don't have sin, we're just lying to ourselves. Here, let's look at Exodus chapter 20, and let's go through and see if you've ever done any of these. Because sometimes people think sin is, well, I've never murdered anybody, and I've never stolen anything over $10,000. Therefore, I've never sinned. Those are the, right? Never cheated on my wife. Therefore, I'm not a sinner. Oh, sure, you know, I talked back as a kid, but all kids do that. That's kind of like the song was. Right? Doesn't matter which one you break. If you break one, you're a sinner. So, Exodus chapter 20 is important to show the laws of God. But then, for the wages of sin is death, the payment. How do we pay for sin? Well, eternal punishment. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. And to get a gift at your birthday party, what do you have to do? You just have to take it. Is it possible that I could go to Chase's birthday party, bring him a gift, and him say, I don't want it, and then I take it back home? Yes. Would that be foolish? Yes. Chase is like, yes, that would be wrong. Yes, that would not be right. But for him to get the gift, he's got to take it. Yes, Jesus Christ paid for the sins of all of mankind, but for us to be saved, we simply have to take it, accept it. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here we see what is bringing about our salvation. It is not works. It is not, but it is the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself. Look at Romans chapter 10. Jesus' death. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath, what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Death, burial, and resurrection is required for salvation, because his death paid for our sins. Right? Isn't that true? But his resurrection is what gives us eternal life. The resurrection is what defeats death. The cross defeats sin. The resurrection defeats death. A holy payment was made with the blood of Christ on the cross. We know that. But when he had victory over the grave, that gives me victory over death itself. The resurrection. And then we go to verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. At this point, I should start talking about what it means to confess. Maybe they were brought up... Chase, can you come stand right here? Okay, we're going to pretend that you're in a little box, okay? You're like in a little room. And I come over and I knock on the window and you open up a little window here. Okay, very good. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 2 months since my last confession. And that's what they're thinking when we read confess. So that's why it's important. You're pretending to be a Catholic priest. Have you ever been a Catholic priest? No. Okay, good. So, and that's what they're thinking, though. Because that's what they were raised with. So what does it mean to confess your sins? Thank you. Okay, you can go sit down. So what does it mean to confess your sins? How do I do that? What is that talking about? And some further explanation may be required. See, we know, though, see, leading up to this point, we've already gotten some information about the person. That's why it's so important to listen. Yeah, I was raised, I used to go to St. Leo's down the way, and, you know, that's where I was married, and I was christened there or baptized there, and my saint's name is this, and that's telling me something about their belief system. So when I get to this word confess, I don't have to spend a lot of time in defining sin, because that's been well defined by the Roman Catholic Church. They do that good, but they mess up confession. So I'm going to spend some time in discussing what it means to confess. Maybe a person was raised in a scientific home where there's been no God, and here you are explaining sin for the very first time, and maybe explaining the offense to a God, and so you're going to have to spend a little bit more time on the sin part of it. Might be. But then we get to Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There we see that we have to have a belief. Where do you see that? For with the heart. See, I could write out, and I've said this, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, and I would tell someone, I could write out what you ought to say, but if you don't believe it, it's not the words. It's do you truly believe in your heart? Say, how do you know? Well, you ask. Do you believe these things? As you're talking to someone and they say, well, wait a second, hold on. Wait, let me get to the end and then, no, take some time. Listen. Present the gospel. Stop for questions. Define terms. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They don't have to wait till Sunday. They don't have to wait till they're in the church house. They can ask Jesus to save them right then. You can pray right there. John 3:36. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So that's a dark verse if you don't believe. But if a person prays and asks the Lord, hey, this is an assurance verse. This is a good verse. This is encouraging. After you go through the whole plan of salvation, and then the person says, well, so here's a couple scenarios of how it might end. Would you like to ask Jesus to save you today? Yes. Well, do you want to pray? Or would you like me to help you, lead you in a prayer? No, I would like to pray myself. Great. Okay, listen. And they'll say something, and it's the sweetest thing you ever hear. Or they might say, could you help me? All right, repeat after me, but don't say anything unless you believe it 100%. Okay, and then you lead them in a prayer. Lord, forgive me for my sin. And they'll just say exactly whatever you say. Just be careful with what you say. And then you can take them to John 3:36. That's encouraging. He that believeth hath... What does it say? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You've been given a gift. Eternal life. John 10:28. Right? You are placed in the hand of God now. Those are important verses. So, what is our series of verses for salvation? Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:10. Nope, I'm sorry. Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, 10:10, and 10:13. And then you pray. Maybe before you pray. So, I can tell if people are paying attention, right? Maya's paying attention. Jessie, she's a little edgy. Say, why? Oh, she's doing this with her hands and things. You can pick up on... Very well behaved, okay, my grandma? All right, okay. So, but you can tell if people are paying attention, right, when you're talking to somebody? So, at the end, if you feel like they were kind of borderline, all right, why don't you tell me what we just talked about? Have them recap. Put it into their own words. Do you have any questions about things? It's encouraging to me when they have questions. That tells me that they're tracking and that they're thinking about things. Well, what about... Okay, well, in our questions, we do need to be mindful that we not get off track, right? But if that person is ready, you can pray right there. Ask Jesus to save them. Say, that's simple? That's simple. Don't complicate something that's simple. Don't make it hard. Just make it easy. But make it real and genuine. Do they truly believe? If after going through the whole thing, and you don't feel like that they're on board, and yeah, maybe they could pray something, but you still don't feel like it's right. Hey, can I come back next week and talk to you more about this? Let that set in a little bit. Let that stew for a little while. But if that person gets saved and you're able to lead them to the Lord, praise the Lord, now what? Well, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. We just have a few more verses and then we'll be done. Colossians 2, 6. And this will complete our Sunday or soul winning kind of series. Or maybe it just starts our soul winning series. I think that would be a better way to say it. Now we have to go and do. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Hey, if a person has trusted Christ, there then is a natural following of Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 tells me that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Matthew chapter 28. Go back there. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Once saved, there is then an obligation to teach. And then continue on. Walk ye in them. There's a way. Jesus Christ saved you. Now what? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, rejoice over that. Tell them, I am so happy. You know what? The angels in heaven are rejoicing over your decision. Look at John 1:12. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Look at this. You are now a child of God. Rejoice over that. We have the same Father. You're my brother. That might creep him out. So be careful with that declaration. All right? But we rejoice over that. Here you are. You just knelt in someone's living room. They asked Jesus to save them. All right, we'll see you next week. See you later. Bye. There you go. I got things. Are you kidding me? Rejoice over that. Spend some time with that. Number one, we rejoice. Number two, we encourage them to read. All right. Here's what I want you to do this week. Do you have a Bible? Yeah, I got a Bible. All right, get it out. Mark it. Put a sticky note right there. I want you to start reading the book of John. Well, how much? Well, do you think you could handle a chapter a day? Yeah, I think I could do that. All right. Let's read the first six chapters of the book of John. Great. I'll be back next week and I'll follow up with how you're doing. Get them reading the Word of God. Have them read the book of 1 John. Either one of those. John, 1 John. Both excellent. So number one, when someone trusts Christ, we encourage them, Colossians 2:6, to walk a new way. We're going to rejoice with them, but then we're going to encourage them to read. We rejoice at them, encourage them to read. Number three, they should tell somebody. Has anybody been praying for you to get saved? Yeah, my mom has been on me. Why don't you call her up? Why don't you tell her? Let's call her together. It's important that someone, that they testify. They let it be known. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. If it's genuine and if that thing's for real, then they'll tell. If they got a handle on what just happened, I don't know. I don't know if that... Try and encourage them. Because how they are handled in the next short period of time will dictate how the rest of their Christianity goes. If day one they're taught that it's not a shame and it's not embarrassing to ask people if they want a gospel tract. Sir, would you like a gospel tract? Thank you. And Jacob, and certainly Stephanie. All right, very good. So there we are. If we teach them from the very beginning that it's okay to be a bold witness for Christ, you know what they're going to be? They're going to be a bold witness for Christ. If we teach them from the very beginning that the Word of God has priority in their life, don't give them another secular book. Oh, here's a great book about, here's a devotional book. No, have them read the Bible. We rejoice, we have them read, we tell somebody else, then we get them in church. It's Friday night, Sunday, we got church. What are you doing? Hey, I got off this week. Great, I'll pick you up. We'll meet for breakfast and I'll pick you up. We'll go together. You come sit with me. We'll be right there together. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. Oh, you're going to like him. He likes the Yankees too and, you know, whatever. Or he likes the Red Sox and he likes the Bills or whatever. He likes fishing too. You'll like him. Great, introduce him. Get him in church. What are we teaching him? We're teaching him how to grow. Reading the Word of God. Pray together before you leave. So what did we just do? We rejoiced. We introduced them to the power of the Word of God. Right? We taught them to be a good witness. We introduced them to the importance of church. And then we prayed. Man, the very foundation of Christianity is laid out in the next 5 minutes. Be a bold witness for Christ. Take those verses. Practice. More homework this week. Lead someone to the Lord. Say, I don't know. Lead someone that's saved to the Lord. So how do you do that? Just practice going through those verses. Hey, can I show you what it means to be a Christian? Can I present the gospel to you? Sure. Abby, you practice on Sophie. Sophie, you practice on Abby. You have those verses written down, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, Romans 10:10, Romans 10:13. Practice. Go from spot to spot. Have them, you know what's another good thing? There we are, I'm showing them. Can you read Romans 3:10 for me? What does that say? And then with their own words, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's powerful to read in your own words. That's powerful to hear for your own self saying it. And then, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? Well, that means I should be saved. You're right. What are you going to do? Can you help me? Yes, absolutely. So there we are. How to present, and then what to do after. We rejoice, we encourage them to read, tell somebody, come to church, and then we pray together. So, this week, we're coming up on, this is the fifth week of July. We have one more week of August, or one more month of August for the month of September. Let me try this again. Summer's almost over. And between now and the end of August, carry these. Say, why? Because it's inviting people to come to church. It's giving them the gospel. Last night we were here and then we're at the... I had to get ice cream and so I went into Tops and I walked out of my truck and I'm like, no, wait. Went back and got a couple. Here I am at Tops. There's one cashier, and all four lanes of the self-checkout are open. I'm like, I just have ice cream. This is beautiful. I'm going to get out of here unscathed. I go to take my little bonus card out at Tops, and I realize if I go through self-checkout, I can't talk to anybody. Went back, went through the line. Met a 17-year-old young man named Connor. Connor doesn't go to church anywhere, and he's not sure what he wants to do with his life. So I invited him to church. Why? Because I was thinking about it. Today I get a phone call at about 20 to 10. Hi, my name's Mike Ellenwood. Man, that you used to come here. He's like, I was driving down the road, and I saw... this is a voicemail I get. I saw a book bag in the middle of the road and I picked it up, and I think it's someone from your church. Call me. So I called him. And I'm like, hey, Mike, how are you? This is Nick Russo. He's like, hey, it's so good to talk to you. What is it? What was his daughter's name? Destiny. And she used to come here years ago. Remember them? Right. He used to work at the Quick Fill right in Brockport. I think he works at the couch now. I said, how you doing? He's like, good, I found this book bag. Normally I don't stop and pick up book bags, but I was driving to work and then I was coming back and I saw it still there and I thought, man, what's in it? So I went and I picked it up and I opened it up and there was a King James Bible in it. And he goes, do you know a Sophie Russo? Nope, never heard of her. I said, yeah. I said, how do I get it? And he's like, I'm at work. I'm at the farmer's table. You can come right now. I'll meet you outside. Great. Hold on. Let me grab one of these. The fact that he found my daughter's book bag in the middle of the road, saw a King James Bible in it, and knew where to call, not a coincidence. Hey, Mike, why don't you come back to church? You going anywhere? I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, my wife and I have been talking about it. A lot of people are talking about going to church. They just need someone to give them a little tug. We have a few thousand of these left. Say, that's a lot. One, two, three, four, five, six. If we each handed out three or five a week or a day, I'd like to run out of... These summer ones don't work good in winter. We have one more month. So you just don't want to waste... You're right. But I also want to get the gospel into people's hands. Would you consider just grabbing a few on your way out? I got a box of them. If you take those ones that are out there, I'll grab more and just invite people to come to church. If you have an opportunity, the gospel's on the back. So now let's take all the things that we've learned and try and put them into practice. Say, I'm going to make a mess of it. Swing. Don't let the ball go by. Swing at it. Yeah, you might make a mess of it. You might forget the verse and you go from Romans 3:10 to Romans 6:23 to Romans 3:23. Is it really that bad? I don't think so. If you do nothing else other than say, would you like, I already gave you a gospel tract. Would you like a gospel tract? Can I give you an invite to church? If that's all that we do, we've done more. Yep. Yep. And we're all going to be doing it. Know what I love? I love when I go to Quick Fill in Brockport and the guy gives you, you know, they pump the gas. And that's nice. And so you give him a dollar and go to give him a gospel tract. And he's like, oh, and he pulls out of his pocket, I just got one. Man, that encourages my heart. You know what that means? Someone else is out there doing it. Someone else from our church. What'd they look like? You know, because chances are really good I'm going to know who that was. Hey, look, I'd rather have someone say, I have too many and I've never heard. This is a real thing. The gospel is for real. Yes, sir. It is the very thing that will change the destiny of a person, of a soul, for all of eternity. Let's take it serious. God took it serious. He took it incredibly serious. I wonder if I take it as serious as he does. Let's all stand. Appreciate you, church. Appreciate your kindness to our family and to me personally. Pray for one another. This Wednesday we have a missionary with us. Jeff Williams, going to New Zealand. Well, he's been to New Zealand for like 25 years. So he's home on furlough and he's going to come visit us. Looking forward to meeting him. Sounds sharp. And I'm excited about meeting him and his wife. So let's be a blessing. Let's be prepared for it. Again, Wednesday night, bring a few extra dollars that we can leave him with some money concerning that. All right. Brother Rice, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?